The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Seven. Today, believe it or not, is the 12th of August, 2017. And as everybody knows, we do this every day we do a show. And I call everybody winners, and I mean that sincerely. And I know the feedback I'm getting. These two lines among a show I did recently about I Am is resonating through the family big time. And this is what it's all about. It's not only lifting brutal things or getting in shape or walking or, you know, maybe all you want to do is body weight. That's great. But you have to make your mind stronger than what you're doing, and you have to temper it with good things, like feed your head. So you can stand up. I'd rather you do that. If you want to sit down, that's up to you. Take a big deep breath through your nose so you can go, blow it all out, and say, I am a winner, I am a champion. Repeat that to yourself morning, noon, and night, or all through the day. I am going to tell you right now, I've seen things happen to me among many things I've been doing with all of this. Within 2 weeks, your mind is going to be so much different. If you don't believe me, do it. Don't do, I can't, I won't, whatever, I am. Get into it, and I'm telling you, change your life. Also, too, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, the Winner's Circle. That is 13 modules, once again, which will change your life. It's all the stuff that I've been doing here for the last 15 years at the FBC Stone and Steel Yard. We don't have a lot of video, obviously. I know people have asked me about video. Video's fine. I know how people love video. I got it. But we like to be thinkers first. And I know what happens, myself included. You can start listening to every one of those modules. And if the video's with it, what are you going to do? You're going to jump and try to do it through the video. Maybe you'll succeed. Maybe you won't. But if you don't have the background, you know, if you don't know how to do a dip or a high shrug or a pullover or a dead stop power rack squat, you're going to get in trouble. And I don't want to see that happen to anybody. So go out there, look at that product, change your life. Because I'm telling you, it's not going to end at 13 modules. There's so much stuff I've been doing out there, obviously. We're going to add new modules. And you know the 8 for 8 out there between Kirsten Tulick, Martin Janzix, Paul Firepower Gray, Dr. William Wong, to name a few. They have offered an hour of their time when you buy the product. I don't know anybody who makes offers like that. And I appreciate everything all these people do for me. I've got some of the greatest people in the world with me, and I would do anything for any of them. We are a family, man. We are a revolution. There is no doubt about it. So jump on it, get into it, and for $247, divide that by 13 modules. The only one that's below 30 minutes is the bonus 13, which is called Stewards of Strength / Gatekeepers. So check that out. Also, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Contribute. Click on that. We have a $25, a $50, and a $100 banner, basically, that you'll click. You'll go right to my PayPal account. No fuss, no muss. On the $25, you get the first module from the Winner's Circle called The Beginning. If you love Motivation Muscle, you're going to hear a lot of how I started out. But it does take you through a great, great course of time where you'll be extremely inspired to start going after each module, believe me. Secondly, for $50, it's the same, The Beginning, and you get a half an hour of consultation free with me. I will not cut you off at $29.59 either. We will complete. Also, $100 will get you The Beginning and free and two free consultations, half hour with me, and we'll do whatever you want to do. That goes also too for the half hour at 50. So go out there, click them. It takes you right out to PayPal. No muss, no fuss. In, out, you're done. And if that's too rich for your blood, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Anything you could contribute would be much appreciated in advance, and I thank you for that. Also, motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. We're over 700 now podcasts. I don't know anybody that's doing that volume, and I've slowed down in the last few months because of so many business things outside of here, of the realm to keep us going. But I'm telling you right now, there is nothing you can't find out there. I mean, that's what Clint Darden said. I was just telling, we'll bring him in shortly. We got Ryan Stewart coming in here. He's brand new to the family, and we're going to welcome him in momentarily. But I was telling him, you know, we're talking about different people. And one thing Clint said to me from the very beginning, a couple things that's very interesting, and he's right. He said, you know, I can't put my thumb on you with what you are. He goes, I know what you do. But he goes, you have such a genre of people here, and you connect them all together. I said, that's always been the idea. And the thing he said, too, a couple things, is, you know, like everything in life, people are going to drop off. New ones are going to come in. He couldn't be more correct on that. And the last thing, which is great, he hates me. But he loves me now. He hated me because of that big challenge from Martin Janzik with the sandbags. And it's forced him to get into sandbags, which via Kenny Nowicki through Cerebus has taken care of that for Ken or for Clint. And he is happier in hell now because he's saying a lot of the things I was doing with a barbell where I had a lot of injuries prior to this, I can do the same things, but I'm doing it with a different style of hold or pull or press or whatever. And everybody knows Clint's been going through hell for a long time, and we're a big supporter of his, and I'm so glad that he hated me enough to go out and do it again, and he loves me again, and we would do anything for Clint Darden. He is A1 here. So that's just the end of that. Now I think we've got everything here. Like I said, we're going to introduce Ryan Stewart, and You know how involved we are with Stones and with everybody over in Scotland, UK, Iceland, everywhere, okay? Well, I noticed this gentleman pulling the Dinnies, and it was at the big gathering last weekend they had in Scotland, and I'm sure we'll hit upon that. But I want to give you a little information on this gentleman. Number one, he's a co-owner of Black Flag Strength and Fitness. He's a power lifter, strongman, and Highland Games contestant. And he's also, like I said, he lifted the Dinnies at the gathering in 2017. So, Ryan, I know that was long, but no further ado, welcome to the show. It's an honor to have you on, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
You are welcome. So, whatever I missed, lay it out there. Obviously, give the website for the gym, and we'll get started on introducing you to the family.
Great. No, happy to be a part of it all. It's awesome.
I love it. It's we've done things that I never thought could be done here, and as we branch out and we bring strength everywhere of mind, body, and soul, I couldn't be happier. But this is the first question I ask everybody, because most of the guys, some of the girls here, we talk about what introduced you, and usually, you know, all of us are big superhero fans, but what initially got you into the weight world? And I'm just going to join everything together, and we'll start right from there. What started you out?
Well, what got me weightlifting initially was a sheer hatred in being pissed off at my basketball coach in high school.
Okay.
And he sounds very odd, but the guy was very unfriendly to me, and you know, I kind of took that out on the weight room, and kind of knew what my position would be on the team at that time, and which would be more of a, I guess, a Dennis Rodman style of player.
Yep.
And so I knew I needed to pack on some size, some mass, and some strength. So yeah, I had my my dad write me a lifting program when I was 16, and
yep.
And little did I know that I would enjoy the lifting more than basketball and everything else on this planet.
Yep.
And it has been nonstop ever since. But that's kind of what got me going. And once I found that I had the love for it and kept getting stronger and bigger, and that's when I kind of found powerlifting after that and kind of dabbled in that for 2, 3, 4 years. And from there, found strongman, and really, I got kind of sick and tired of being in banquet halls in the basement of hotels for powerlifting.
Yeah, yep.
More than anything, I think my wife had a hate for the banquet hall.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a real friendly place, you know, and you're stuck in these little holes in the wall where you're doing it. You know, you made a great point, and I got a big grin on my face when you said it. You know, I played a lot of sports. I was a good athlete. Not elite, but good. And I started lifting when I was 10 years old. You know, you're going through that on and off. You know, I get my first sand weight set and a wooden bench from my aunt and uncle. And away we go. And a lot of it started prior to that. A lot of it, the big story here, and will always be, because this is whom the company's dedicated to, both companies, is my brother Jimmy, who had muscular dystrophy, was wheelchair bound, and he passed away as a very young teenager. That puts a deep influence on anybody. Anybody that would say no doesn't have a brainstem in their head, in my opinion. And we know. As a young kid, I was petrified of getting it. And your parents will tell you it can't happen, but you're a kid and you're afraid. Well, two things happen, and then I'm going to get right to that point, because this is really why we're here besides losing a big job, basically. I remember one day I was at this little corner store. We used to go down and get ice cream when we were kids. And I'm looking through the comics, and there's the Incredible Hulk. And I was like, son of a gun, I found it. I grabbed this magazine and brought it home, and I never looked back, man. In fact, I'm looking at Jimmy. Jimmy is right across from my desk, and Jimmy is in a frame picture with the Hulk of the cartoon in the very left-hand corner. So I've got my two not only idols, but my biggest guidance here of my life, who's, to me, is why we're here, and that's why M&M and FBC are dedicated to my brother. Now, what made me really grin when you said that, because I thought the same thing the minute I touched a barbell. You knew that basketball wasn't it anymore. And yeah. The guys and gals like us, and I'm going to get right to you because I can't wait to hear what you come back with. I think it's inherently in us. I've had this conversation both on the show and off the show with strength people all over the planet. And I just think somewhere along the line, maybe our parents aren't doing it. You know, obviously your dad was involved. He wrote you a routine. My father boxed, all those things, but not a weightlifter per se, okay? But yet, it found you, or did you find it, or it was like that? So comment on any of that. What do you think? I mean, how, you know, you know enough people in this world, and I do too, and it's like their parents might have been athletic, but none of them were ever lifting weights, and suddenly you've got a kid or two that's just off the chart, you know? So go ahead and comment, please.
Well, I was very lucky. My dad was actually a high-level javelin thrower at San Jose State. Wow. When he was in college.
Okay.
And, you know, he was around some very, very elite throwers at that time, even though they weren't necessarily throwing for the college. But, you know, Brian Oldfield.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Al Fierbach and all those guys were regularly at the college throwing on their campus, and he was able to watch them throw and lift. And so he was pretty experienced coming from a thrower track and field background. And, you know, as long as I can remember, my dad was lifting in the garage on this old weight set that he received from the college when he left, because they got some new stuff. And we had that in the basement of our house or in the garage, depending on where we lived. And So seeing him lift and, you know, I never really had a whole lot of interest until I hit about 16. And then, I was lucky enough to have a dad that, you know, had all that stuff ready to roll for me and was, I look back at the program that he wrote me, and I kind of laugh at it now because I realize he didn't know a whole lot of what he was doing, but
right.
Yeah, he had a fairly good idea, and it was enough to get me started. And there was no looking back after that. That's for sure.
No, and you know that's what's really interesting because you know, let's face it, when you do this physical culture correctly, when you live it, when you breathe it. And you and I both know, lifting stones isn't easy. Throwing, cabers is not easy. And let's just face it, in the weight room when you're busting your hump hard as hell, this is not, you know, this is where I think a lot of people really go awry with things. They think, whether it's these magazines, which I don't even go near unless it would be a Milo or finding old material. You and I both know the reality of it is a joke. All right. And this is where people get hammered out. I was talking about this yesterday. I was like, how many people do we know that have just been ripped off or they've gotten hurt or whatever? Because, you know, we get into a lot of the youth stuff here and, you know, some of these trainers, which don't belong training anyone, they figure, okay, you're 14, 13 years old, right up to 18. I'll beat the snot out of you right into the ground and we'll see what happens. And you know something? They get hurt too. We got Dr. Bob Weil on here out of Chicago and he's big with, you know, with the feet and all that, but he trains some very elite athletes and he says the horror stories that come in there with, especially these girls that are gymnasts, ice skaters, things of that nature, just push to the point where they either break mentally or they have to have something done surgically. And that's why I'm very happy, like, you know, with you being on here today and everybody else, and, you know, we're identifying these things. I mean, we've been in enough. You're a gym owner. You're dealing with the public all the time, and I'm sure you see things that you're shaking your head at. And that's one of the things. That's something I wanted to ask you too. I mean, you're seeing a lot of horror stories, I'm sure, coming in. And you know, the thing that makes me go crazy is this: these people are paying a lot of money, and I don't know. You know, look, my brother-in-law is a high school varsity football coach, so you really get to see the horror stories on the stands where the parents are worse than the kids, a lot of them, and the things they're saying and this and that. I mean, I don't go to the games anymore because I'm serious. I could physically walk down and pick them up and throw them right off the stands. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. It's disrespect to the coaches. You know, I know all the stuff. But this is why this will follow right into with you with the gym business. Being a guy that is a world-class athlete that's done things. I mean, you look like last weekend with the Denny's. I mean, think about the percentage of the world that could even go and attempt that, all right? When you see these kids come in where your facility is and all that, what is the underlying theme you see with a lot of the kids now?
Well, a lot of it is not having any sort of clue with programming and rest and you see them staple themselves to the bench or staple themselves to the safety pins day in and day out. And it's just, you know, max out.
Yep.
And it's just a matter of time before they get hurt. So we try to make a point that we put up on a whiteboard, a real basic layout, kind of a West Side Conjugate layout.
Sure.
And, you know, yeah, I mean, that's something that I guess I should be getting paid for, but I'd rather see them get stronger, be healthy, and be productive. I mean, it's a good reflection of me, the gym, and you know, that's what you want. You want people to succeed, and that's why we started this gym.
Yeah. Well, and that's a good thing because, you know, with what you've done to present, I mean, you know, I know we see all over Facebook, but, you know, I don't believe two-thirds of what's on there to begin with. when you can walk into an establishment like your own and you have somebody that's talking the talk but has walked it all. And that is very important. And I can remember when we were kids, you know, going to the old Y and stuff, and there was a great facility here called the Steel Pier. I mean, they don't, you know, I know there's pockets of clubs all over the United States and the world. But stuff like that, I'm sure yours would fall into that category. They're few and far between now. And when you see what really makes me get pissed beyond pissed is when you see these guys and all they got are pecs and biceps and they're taking Instagram pictures in a mirror. Hello? And you know, it's funny because I don't know about you. I love to observe, and I talk to a lot of people outside of here. That's why I love doing this job. It's not a job either, by the way, folks. You know, it always makes me laugh because you can see these dudes. It's like, you know, they've got some arm on them, but it's nothing big. And they probably don't eat a lot, and they're more defined than you'd normally be, and they got pecs. But, you know, I've been in martial arts, all kinds of different things, but we used to always laugh because you can size somebody up pretty easy anyways. I mean, they've got a waist like a young girl. They've got no ass and no thighs, no nothing. And believe me, folks, I'm not looking at their ass at all. But it's like when you're involved in any type of fighting or weightlifting or sandbags or stones or whatever, you can look at a guy. Now, it can be deceiving. I mean, strength is strength, no matter what. But normally, the guys walking around that are pecs and arms, a good wind would blow their ass down the street, folks. That, you know, that's what I'm saying. But go ahead and take it. I mean,
it's the guy who walks in. I think it's been said 100 times before. The guy you got to fear is the one who comes in looking like a silverback gorilla with a massive back.
Yep.
I mean, those are the guys. Yeah, run the other way because that guy's going to destroy every weight in the gym.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's – I love all that stuff. I used to love it when I used to train at a gym. You know, you'd have a group of guys coming in either during the week and on Saturday too, and we would have a friggin' blast. I mean, we'd take the place over practically. And we'd be going, you know, in power racks, you know, pulling off the all that stuff. I haven't been in a gym – well, other than when I go and visit places, but, you know, I've got everything in my one car, and I got a 95-foot driveway to go berserk. And, I mean, stones, chains, 6x6s, everything's lagged into the wall, into the floor, you know. It's really the way to go. And I think, you know, you've got an establishment where you can do stuff like that. They don't let you at places do stuff like that. You know what I mean? And if they've got any stones, maybe they got stones up to 80 pounds, that's not going to do me any good. So that's a great thing that you offer there. And it's really great to be able to take somebody who's not sure, who's been doing things not correctly, and get them on the right path. Let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, you do and have done many, many things. Stone lifting up in the top two. I guess we could let's label it maybe some strongman. What do you like? I mean, or is everything different for you all the way across the board? What do you kind of favor if there's anything?
Well, definitely the Highland Games. Yeah, okay. And you know, being in it for 12 years and being pro for 8.
Yep.
For me, there was nothing better than training for the Highland Games and competing in the Highland Games. Just the camaraderie, the enjoyment of being able to do most of your training outdoors.
Yes. Yep.
And where most people would look at an empty field and think about going out there and throwing by themselves for 2 hours, most people would just be like, oh, God, I don't want to do that.
No, you're right.
But for me, I mean, that's my happy time, going out and, you know, there's no screaming kids. You know, regular life kind of gets put on mute, and you just get to sit out there and throw heavy shit around and really enjoy it for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's a good life. That's why I like outside here. No matter what the weather, I go out. You know, you dress accordingly. You got a heater to maybe take a little bit of the edge off, but you don't get comfortable out there. I think that is the best way to train. And when you go to places like Scotland for this big Dinny Stone affair last weekend, it makes a difference in your training. Yeah, I know a lot of people like controlled environments. I've got guys I've known for years that they won't train during the summer. It's too hot. I'm like, well, you shouldn't be training at all. You know, I mean, who would think something like that? I'm taking the summer off because it's too hot.
No.
You're not dedicated to what that is, and that's a good way to just, you know, see you later. You know, that's not the mentality you want around you when you're going after these things. And you know, the mental aspect of everything, let's face it, you got to have it, especially you're going out and doing things not only by yourself, but you're surrounded by a lot of your peers, your contemporaries that, hey, look, nobody wants to go home second place. So, I mean, you might be friends with them, but it is dog eat dog when you go there. And that's what I love all about that. And I think, you know, what I have found with my career training is this. It's funny how things, you know, I see it with what you do. It's funny how things like start to blossom and merge into other things. You know, I can remember the first time I saw that DVD of our good friend Steve Jack in Iceland.
Yeah.
And I remember ordering that thing, man, and watching that. I said, I'm going to go learn how to lift stones. I'm going to get to Iceland. Well, it took me 6 more years, but I got there. And then we got there again. It's things like that. And I was like, you know, I was thinking back, you know, when I was talking in the beginning about a sand bench and a wooden bench and sand weights leaking all over. And I have to sometimes just smack myself in the head and say, do you believe, like, you got there? Do you believe that you're going again? Do you believe that you could be doing this another 3, 4, 5 years? I mean, it amazes me to think that I've gone and done these things, because it's the same way with the gym. You know, once they kicked us out, I had to come home here, start with a power rack and 1,000 pounds of weight. If you see my garage now with what I've got in there, you'd be like, how the hell do you get another piece in there, man? Well, you know what? It works. And I've got thousands. I probably got 10,000 pounds on the ground alone. I've got 3 power racks, you name it, et cetera. Everything through there, okay? I even got some of the, and I'm not a machine guy at all. I even went out due to reading all the articles in The Real Iron Man, Perry Rader. I even got I've got 4 first-generation Nautilus machines, which most people would say, oh, I'm telling you right now, I've got the first-generation original pullover, which loads plates on it. I've got the first-generation 4-way neck. I've got the first-generation seated press, and it's got where you can do basically the shoulders, where it looks like a fly you're doing with them. And this was a thing that got me, and I hunted for 2 years for it and found it. I was reading an old article, obviously, in Iron Man, and, you know, as you learn about different football players and all this, I became, like, I still am, a big fan of Dick Butkus, man. And it said like this on the ad, you can get traps just like Dick Butkus. And I was like, son of a bitch, I want traps just like. So what do? It took me 2 years to hunt it down, and they're rare as hell. I found an original first-generation Nautilus trap machine.
Nice.
And dude, it is sick. I'm here. And I'm careful with it now, because when I went to Iceland the first time, Bill Crawford and I both blew our biceps. So it's not it puts you in a position sometimes I got to be careful with it. But that's neither here nor there. But, you know, that's kind of like the influence. So, all right. So we know you like the Highland Games. And I want to get into some of this. And I want to get into some of the movements you like to do, but I got to ask you this, because I don't want to fall on time here. The gathering in Scotland. I'm sure you're probably in contact with people all over the place. How did you find out about it? Have you lifted the Dinny Stones before it was last weekend, wasn't it? I believe, yeah, last Saturday.
Right. Yeah.
All right, have you lifted them? What influenced you? Have you always wanted to? Is there people over there you have correspondence with, et cetera, et cetera? Answer what you want. We'll just keep going on, please.
Yeah. So, you know, I actually, as a Highland gamer, if you don't know who Donald Denny is,
yeah,
there's probably something wrong with you.
Yep.
So, yeah, when you get in, you start looking at the history of all the throwers before you, and you know, the number one guy, the original Highland gamer, is Donald Denny.
Donald Denny, right.
So we read about him, and then sure enough, you eventually work your way into reading about his stones. And so the interest in it has been there since the beginning of being a Highland gamer. And knowing that eventually I would go to Scotland and throw and compete in the Highland Games over there, getting strong is part of the Highland Games, but once you start up your season, you kind of have to drop a lot of the heavy lifting and be more explosive and be more of an athlete. So when I went over there in 2015, I knew I was going to get a shot at them. At that time, they were actually in storage for the entire year, except for when they were pulled out for the Aboyne Games. And so I knew my shot was going to be either at the Aboyne Games or the night before. So my plan was always the night before. Mm-hmm. And so I had already competed in 6 Highland Games at that point in a matter of, I think it was 10 days.
Wow.
And so, yeah, when you go to Scotland to compete, you better be ready to roll because it will annihilate you.
Yep.
And so I just kept myself a little extra strong, didn't completely abandon the heavy lifting, knowing that I was going to get a shot in 2015. And so, yeah, I competed in a few games and got my wife and my buddy in the car and said, hey, you know, we're going to roll down and check out the Inverstone.
Oh, yeah.
And so we went down and lifted the Inverstone, and I said, well, you know, Denny stones are right up the road here, and I would imagine they'll be out, being that they're fairly large and they're going to need a forklift to get them off. So rolled down to the Denny stones, or went down to Aboyne, and sure enough, there they were up on a truck.
Yeah.
And, you know, walked out there and talked to the guy who was running the Highland Games there and said, hey, you know, would it be okay for you guys to get those down so I can give them a shot? And at first, they were a little hesitant, but they ended up getting them down for me, taking them over on the grass. And one thing people don't realize with the Denny stones is, sure, you may have a 700-pound deadlift in the gym, but you also warmed up to that 700-pound deadlift with all the other weights in the gym. And with the Denny's, it is just you and those stones.
Yep.
And not having a warm-up or not having a proper warm-up and having to essentially go cold into a 734-pound lift that is so awkward, with one of them being 100 pounds heavier than the other and different heights. I mean, it's a 3-inch difference between one rock to the other.
Yep.
Or one handle to the other. And it was incredibly hard. And I had brought some bands over there with me and was able to get a little bit of warm up with just some bands, bands.
Sure.
But yeah, the first time I lifted them, it was hard. And it didn't happen the first time I grabbed them. It took me about 5 or 6 attempts to really get them in a position that felt even semi comfortable. And was able to lift them there in 2015.
Awesome.
And yeah, it was great. But that kind of set all my stone lifting in motion, and my love for it was lifting those Denny stones the first time.
Tell everybody too, because I don't know if you've got them, you probably do. He started making them again. I got David Horn for a while there. Had the rings, the replicas of the Denny stones, and you could get them, and I got them from him about probably 7-8 years ago. But tell everybody how brutal those rings are on your fingers, because most
it is so brutal. And you know, the heavy stone, which is 400 and change, it has a bigger ring.
Yep.
And for me, that one is not the one that makes you want to die. It's the smaller stone that is 300 and change. It has the tiniest diameter. diameter of ring, and it is just a thumb ripper.
Yeah.
It is super painful for me on my left hand to lift that ring. It is a brutal, brutal ring.
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of people, and you made the great point of the 700-plus deadlift. I know guys have told me, and I've seen them here, that had smoking deadlifts and had a bear of a time if they even got it lapped and stood up, and they usually didn't with a 230-pound Atlas stone. These weren't weak. Yeah. These were not weak men, ladies and gentlemen, at all. And you want to see pissed off? I mean, pissed off like you can't believe. And, yes, all those things help out, and that's what I want to hit next, is this. They all help out, but the bottom line is, you know, we've gone over this a million times about the Husafell stone, where so many people have failures with them. And the main reason with that stone, I can tell you right from experience, they love to call them handholds, where you can tuck your fingers into things and get a little bit of bite when you go to lift this. There's very little on it. I know some people will flip it 180, 360. They get it up that way. But if you're going to lift it conventionally, and that's what I'm doing this time, where it looks like a shield, they'll call it, because we've built here replicas of it. I took all the dimensions off the Husafell stone when I was there the first time, and we took and built steel stones that you load with shot, and then I came up with even a better idea where I took these big, long carriage bolts like that you would use, and we cut the top off it, and we welded them on each corner of the steel stone at the top. And why did I do that? Because some days you're much stronger than others, and the last thing you want to do during a workout is have to take that damn plug out and get that shot weighed and put it in the stone. By doing this, it allowed me to put 10 standard 10-pound plates or anything in there. I can put the Olympic if I lay one underneath it. Let me tell you something. That makes all the difference when you're doing stuff like that. So a lot of people don't understand this. With the Dinnies, I mean, you got to have hands that are beyond anything you can dream of, especially your fingers. Because you go over to, well, I'm sure you can attest just to the inverse stone. I know the clean, pick it up. Most people roll it up the front of them, whether you're going to shoulder it or not. Obviously, if you're an Andrew Carney, you'll put it over your head. But, you know, you and I both know. I mean, you can attest to this. Well, all right, we're just going to lay it right out. If your hands are weak, if your wrists are not real good, and if you don't have a pair of Popeye forearms,
you're screwed.
Okay, there you go. See, I didn't even have that. Perfect. You're screwed, and that's the truth. And it's like people don't get this. They think, okay, just because I'm a big bencher or overhead or deadlifter or squatter, yes, it's all going to help. You need the shoulder girdle, the hip girdle, obviously. But if I was going to tell somebody, and people have asked me, what is it you would tell me to work on right now? I'd say, well, if you're very good at all the lifts and you feel you're capable of any of this stuff, and I'm doing this right now, I would say work from the elbow right down to the fingers a lot. You know, start introducing that because most people don't. And a place where I've really hit more now than ever is from the kneecap to the feet. With the calves, obviously, with the ankles, and right up the front shin, because the front shin is another very vulnerable weak spot on most people because we don't train the front shin, a lot of people. And when you're doing the old school York iron boots where we do all the twisting with them and the different movements we've incorporated now, and now that we're using the sand dune, now we've got, I believe we got the formula now. And it's really, well, we're going to see. I mean, I've been carrying and stuff, but, you know, the way I figure, we've got what? Here, we've probably got 3 weeks before we're going to start getting a little bit cooler. It'll still be warm and humid here, but you're going to have days. And when that happens, that's when I'm going to be picking monster Husa steels up. And we're going to go all different intervals up and down and back on that 95-foot driveway I've got. And that's going to really help out a lot because if you can get breath into your lungs that's not basically baking you, it really makes a difference when you carry. You can comment on any of that, Ryan, but I want to ask you, too. I don't want to not ask you this, and we'll have you back in anyways, and we'll get in even more.
Yeah.
If you had to pick a movement, and I know there's so many things that, you know, we all love to do, farmers, the whole deal. What movement for you? Because I've asked Stevie and Martin and everybody, and they'll come up with one or two. And you've got six. That's fine. What movement do you think really, really is going to influence, let's just say, the Denny's and the Invert for today?
Well, so for me, the answer for that is actually very dependent on your body structure. I am 6'3".
Okay.
And the Denny Stones sit right in the dead spot of my deadlift, which is just below the kneecap.
Okay.
And for a guy, if you're 5'10",
yeah,
and you can squat a house, your ability to lift the Denny's is going to be much better than mine.
Yep.
It's just, you know, just an it's a lockout essentially for those guys. But for me, it sits in the worst possible position it could possibly sit in to lift. So for me, being taller, deadlifting from that dead spot, for me, I loaded up loading pins,
yep,
and stood on top of plates.
Yep.
And essentially was doing deficit Denny lifts on a dynamic effort day, and then on a max effort day doing heavier ones that were very close to that same dead spot.
Yep.
And so, yeah, for me, deadlifting, whether it was conventional deadlifting, trap bar deadlifting, deadlifting with pins and rings.
Yep.
That was always my main movement. I am an absolute glute ham raise
there
fanatic.
You go. Me and you and both. Yep.
Yeah, man. It is without a doubt one of the deal breakers for me in building my deadlift and building my ability to lift stones. And I've got it to where I can take a pretty thick, elite, heavy band, throw it behind my neck and do sets of 10 with them. And it has been the tool that has helped my lifting anything from the floor to get where I am now.
You're the first guy besides me that's ever said that.
I think most people despise them.
you know what the thing was? I was very lucky, and that was another thing that came out of some of these articles. You know, Michael Yeses was, as far as I know, was the originator of it. He was over in that time in the Soviet Union, and I was fortunate enough because he had a hard time getting them made there for a while, and I think he's got somebody else doing them now. I've got an original glute ham by him. And man, oh man, that thing, you know, we talk about spinal erectors, okay? And I do the stuff with the bands. If I have somebody over here, we'll do it with a barbell, the way Alexia kind of formulated it off the pommel horse years ago. I'm telling you right now, folks, if you don't have one and you have access to one, you should get on a glute ham machine. You would be – and, I mean, obviously, I've got the book with it, so there's all different places where you'll set your pin for whatever. But I do the same thing with bands. I can hook the bands and do it that way, and I love it because, you know, I don't have mine lagged in because I move it sometimes. Sometimes we do them outside, too. So you don't want to take a chance because if you had too much weight and that ever went face first on you, you'd be dead. So we don't want any of that. So, yes, the glute ham is absolutely brutal. I'll tell you another thing. As I always say now, my goal is to have two Roman columns on my back, okay? And one of the things that was in that article, besides they were talking about glute ham, was the close grip bent row. And I'll never forget, because I can do it and get it, they said if you're doing it correctly, you're going to feel like a big tightness in the middle of your back right away. So, you know, these are the things that really, and, you know, doing them clean grip too, you know, folks, whether you're using a York Olympic bar, an Alico, whatever you're using, or a 2 or 3 inch bar, which we use on them, and we formulate them different. Sometimes we'll throw the car tires on them. Sometimes we'll use them like 25 pound plates, et cetera, et cetera. I'm telling you right now, you know, like Ryan said, not only the glued ham, you want to add some of those close grip, bent rows, I am telling you, you'll have a back on you. And, you know, like I was saying in the beginning, Ryan, you know, I introduced the Heist Shrugs back into my training. Yeah. You know, we're always talking the upper back, you know, all that. You want to, you know, if you remember, I put a picture up for everybody that's seen it. I put, you know, when you talked about a silverback gorilla, I'll never forget, I still have it. Maybe I'll even put it up tonight. Go look at the back, the traps on Anthony DiTillo. And if you don't know who Anthony DiTillo is, you need to investigate him, because he was a primary writer for Perry Rader way back when, and then he came back in the 90s and wrote for Milo for a while, and then he passed away, unfortunately. You want to talk about big? I don't think Anthony was over 5'6", and he was probably 330, 340. And he, to me, I never thought he had a big protruding belly. Yeah, he wasn't a bodybuilder with ripped abs, but who gives a shit? He could pick a power rack up and rip it out of the floor. Go look at his traps, and then you tell me there was probably nothing, in my opinion, that he couldn't lift. They looked like bookcases, literally. They didn't even look like traps to me. They were so damn big. So when we talk about these things, to be able to lift Dinnies and be able to lift Inverse Stones and Husafel and all that, this is the stuff you need, everybody. This is a, and yeah. You know, go ahead. I don't want to comment. I've been going long enough. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it really is. I mean, the erectors, glue ham.
Yep.
You know, anything you can do for that area of the body. I think one thing that really took off for me this year is I really put in twice the amount of work I ever put in on my upper back.
Yep.
And my ability to lock things out as far as deadlifts and stuff go really, really started to take off with that also. But when you're lifting stones, I mean, as I went through, I did the entire – well, I say entire stone tour. I did seven stones in about 24 hours. Did the Inverse Stone, Saddle and Mare, Puderac, Fianna, Menzies, Dalwhinnie, and then the Baravan Stone to finish. And at the end of that day, I thought to myself, had I not put in that full year of extreme upper back work, there was no way I would have been able to lift those stones at the end of the day. I mean, that was really what was taking over.
Yeah, that is so awesome to hear. And I'll tell you another thing. You've seen it too, I'm sure. Because I remember Charlie Oliphant telling me, you know, Andrew was helping him out big times. And, of course, Charlie lifted the stones, Dinnies. And Charlie is an excellent guy. And he said that's where he was weak. They worked on his upper back big time. And the thing is, as we've seen even with the Atlas, when you don't have the upper back yet, you'll lap it. But then most of these guys don't stand up with it straight. They get up so far and they got it dumb. But what do you think? What do you like to hit with the upper back? I mean, besides like deadlifts, do you like to, you know, explode high pulls or work the actual stone from different points in the rack? Cause see, that's what I'll do here. What's one of your favorites? Cause I remember Stevie telling me this. The best way to get strong as hell lifting a stone is do one-arm deadlift. So what do you like to do, Ryan?
You know, actually for the upper back work, I'm a huge fan of doing seal rows, a bunch of different seal row variations, whether it's with the bar, dumbbells. We do them with chains. We do them with bands.
Yep.
Really, really a fan of doing the seal rows, especially on my upper body day. Tons and tons of pull-ups, weighted pull-ups. We do the lat pulls with bands.
Yep.
And, you know, doing all that stuff. And, again, that's just the upper body day. You know, as far as when it comes to the lower body day, yeah, heavy deadlifts, heavy rows, doing, you know, one-arm rows.
Yeah.
We have a Viking row here that just, oh man, it annihilates you, and it's got some big old fat handles on it too. Yep. So you're crushing your grip at the same time.
Yep.
We're big on working all that stuff.
Without a doubt. Let me ask you this, because I know we're getting near time here. I mean, I want people to feel this, because we've talked about it so many times. Tell everybody out there, what did it feel like, the experience to go and lift all those stones? If you can, you know, if you can. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it just feels so good you can't explain it, but tell everybody out there, you know, you worked your ass off. You know, you got over there, you had your Highlands, and then, you know, you went and you got to hang around with history with Jack Shanks being there. Oh, no, Jack, was Jack there? No, was he? Yes, no.
Yeah, Jack was there. Actually, yeah. Jack gave me a big old hug after lifted the stones. So.
Right. So, I mean, you were there with history right there. But tell everybody, what was it? What was the feeling going and lifting all those varied stones?
Well, I mean, I had goosebumps many, many, many times, and the gathering itself was amazing. Stevie did an amazing job, and being there with, you know, legends across the board was really a great time. I guess I'm a little crazy with going over there and doing all of those manhood stones right in a row, but I kind of knew I'd be limited on time and needed to kind of nail it in one day.
Yeah.
I woke up, didn't eat breakfast, didn't eat lunch, didn't eat dinner. I had two boxes of granola bars, like Costco-sized boxes.
Yep.
And all I did was eat granola bars on the go, had a big old jug of water, and it was just – it was on. I was driving like a rally car and just hitting one stone and immediately flying to the next stone and – you know, I was telling one of my good buddies that I work with here, Scott Farr, for the Fianna stone, it was my favorite stone of all of them. How complicated it was, and the scenery, and you're going 8 miles up that glen, and it's just beautiful. And up those glens, it's the weather's not real great usually, and it was a little cloudy, kind of sprinkling, and then all of a sudden I come up over this little ridge. And it flattens out, and you see the Fianna stone, and all of a sudden there's no clouds. The sun's beaming through, beaming off the Fianna stone. And it was, I mean, I had goosebumps all over my body.
Yeah.
And you're lifting history, and you're doing it in an amazing location. And, the whole experience is just incredible.
Yeah, it's you know, if there's ever anything called paradise, you know, that's where you just hit. I'll tell you this quick. When we went back to Iceland in 11, and we went in November, and, you know, everybody's like, crazy time of year, you know, the whole thing. But in 11 that year, the weather here in New York was way, way warmer than normal. And I'm watching Iceland every day, and the weather, you know, it's colder here in New York, folks. I've said this than it is in Iceland normally. So we decide to pack up just before Thanksgiving and go. So we get there, and we're staying in Reykjavik, which I'll never do again because now I know we can stay in Húsafell, whether it's at the inn, but that closes at Labor Day. But now Stevie sent me a thing where there's a hotel there, and you can stay there all year round. That makes a big difference. Traveling about over an hour, we got lost. It just is not great on the body and the mind when you're ready to go after a big thing like that. So we get there. But when you talk about goosebumps, you know, I remember Bill Crawford saying, who organized the whole thing in 2008 with Iron Mine. You know, this might be the only time in your life you ever get back, you know, get here. And that was in my head. And I can remember the worst of the worst was it'd been nice all week till the day we were going to drive to Húsafell. It rained the whole night in Reykjavik, and obviously I knew it had rained in Húsafell. And I was like, okay, well, that thing's like talc anyways. Well, here we go. So we finally get there because as you're driving, the thing you'll see right away, the one-room steeple church is still there, and there's a huge gold sign. That was Sonori's church. And if anybody knows the history of it, Snorri Bjornsson was the one that lifted the Húsafell and used it as a gate when he milked the sheep, okay? So, and he's buried right by the church. It's beautiful. The history, you go and meet his great-great-great ancestor who's a, if you've seen any of the stuff, anything that's carved, he carves everything. It is unbelievable. And I remember when we pulled up there, I got out of the car, I got like on my knees. I couldn't believe I was back here again. And I knew all the signs because from the first time, even though it was 3 years later, you never forget a voyage like that. And I can understand the goosebumps and all that and seeing all these things, whether it's for the first, second, or 100th time. It never changes, man. It just gets better. I mean, and I can't wait to get back there and nail that thing and be done with it because I would really like where Bill, I don't know where exactly. I think myself and Bill both blew our arms out somewhat in different places. I want to say mine was Latra. I would really like to go to the other side of the fjords and go get those five stones because I never got a chance to get the Judas stone or the column stone. So it's a feeling that it's very, you know, I tell people like you just said to me and the family here, but the best thing I can tell you with anything you want to do that's big, you got to go do it, man. You got, yeah. you know, as Steve Jack said, I'll never forget that. How do you put it? It's like you're wrapping your arms around, it wasn't history, it was, I can't think of the word, but it was like, it was just so pointed the way he said it. It's something that, you know, it's a challenge, but it's something that it has more meaning than just going and lifting a stone where most people say, oh, you're just going to go lift a stone. Why the hell you want to do that? There's so much more to it. Yeah. And it was just absolutely, I can't wait. Let me put it this way. I like Iceland so much. I've thought multiple times of living there. That's how much I'll tell you why. Yeah, there's some things I don't agree with culturally there, but here's what I like. The majority of people, no matter how old they were in very, very good shape. Húsafell, like the famous stones of Scotland, was ingrained in their culture. You would just say, they say, well, why are you here? They all knew it. There wasn't anybody. It didn't matter what age it was, whether or not. And the thing that I really like most about it is it just kind of agreed with my personality. You know, I like being able, to me, to be able to jump in a car and drive up to Húsafell anytime I want, and everybody says, I get old. It never gets old, man. It never gets old. You could sit on that sheep pen, and you could daydream there till the rest of your life. So, you know, comment on any of that, but we're getting near the end. You know, basically summarize anything you want. Give out any info you want. I'll give mine. Hang on the line, and we'll get you set up. I'd love to have you come back again, Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's been a great time, and Húsafell is definitely on the list, and it's more than likely going to happen next year. I'm lucky I have Van Hatfield that lives just down the road.
Oh, wow.
About 30 minutes, yeah. And so he's a great guy, and he's been real nice to me, letting me borrow one of his 408-pound Húsafell stones that they used to use. The
yeah.
Ipsa shield.
Yeah.
And so we have one of those here at the gym, and I have some concrete ones also. And
yep.
But yeah, next year it looks like I'll be heading out there to Húsafell and give that sucker a shot because me and my buddy were talking the other day as far as people who have lifted the Denny's and gone full Sturker with the Húsafell stone. We can only think of one, and it was Bill Crawford.
Absolutely. Bill, the other guy when I was there, I'm trying to think, was he the only other one? It was Stefan, he's been in World's Strongest Man. I don't know what happened to him this past year, but he'd been out for a long time. But it was only him and Bill Crawford that lifted the Húsafell. But what happened? Well, Bill lifted it. He got 2/3 of the way around, and his arm, it sounded like a shotgun blast going off. It blew finally. So you know, we think that he tore it in Dritvik, where he got a big pop there. And I got my big pop on the big stone in Latra, and Then we noticed I had to end up going to the ER because everybody knows you tear it, you get black and blue all the way up your arm. So, but he gave it a big attempt. He pulled it up pretty easy, but, man, I'm telling you, and he was done. He tried it again. He couldn't carry it 3 feet, you know, and that's what happened. So, who knows, maybe we'll meet up with you next year. The plan is if I don't get there by the end of the year, Martin Janzik is going to meet me in Iceland, and we're going to either – we're going to do that stone, and if you can get the time, we'll go to Latra, and then I'm going on the voyage of a lifetime with him in Scotland, and he wants to go to Wales. He wants to take me to Wales, and why, like I said in the beginning, then I'm going to go over and visit Stevie, too, if we can work the time out. So you talk about a voyage. Holy God, man. Unreal.
Well, you tell me. You let me know when you guys are going. I'd be happy to go over there and meet
awesome.
With you guys.
Awesome.
And, Yeah. Martin's a great guy, and he's been a huge help to me. And I mean, there is not a nicer guy on this planet. That would be great.
I'll let you know. They're just like I said. Their mentality with a lot of things are just different than what I've ever met up with. And I just, you know, Martin's on the show a lot. Bill hasn't been on in a while, but Bill's been on a number of times. Crawford. But like Charlie and Lance Keene and all that, I mean, it's just very interesting to talk to them about things because everything with them, I can see how all that stuff's ingrained in them. I love the philosophy with everything, and it's very simple with a lot of how they do things. You know, I'll make this quick, and I'll send everything back, and you can give all your info and whatever you'd like to say. You know, you got to know somebody is really dedicated to their shit. You know, like Martin will tell me, and I love, see, these are the stories I love about doing this and telling everybody this and getting him like we're all together in a room and we're hanging out and we're talking all these stories, you know. And when he says to me, you know, I'll take my work truck and it'll be fairly dark, but I have to go in the field and flip the 500-pound tire for an hour, okay? And the funniest shit is not only the work truck but his own car, he's got to leave the lights on so he can see. He'll go back to start the car and the battery's dead. Now, tell me this. How many people have that type of dedication? Seriously.
Yeah, I've found that it's fewer and fewer than
yes,
you
sir.
Ever think.
Yes, sir. Especially in today's soft world life, but that could be a whole nother show. Ryan, anything you want to add to it? Give out your information. I'll give out mine and hang on the line, and we'll sign off, please.
Yeah. Just you can follow our gym, Black Flag Strength and Fitness. We're on Facebook and on Instagram. And as far as our internet site, we are still working on it, tinkering with it, but it is blackflagstrength.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. Stu Squatch is my Instagram account. And, yeah, give it a follow.
Awesome. All right, this is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Like I said, go out to Fiorella Barbell Co. Winner Circle. It will change your life. It's not going to be easy, but you know what? You'll build the body you want. You'll have basically the foundation, as we call it, to go out when, you know, when Ryan and I and everybody are talking about stones and, you know, everything else that's associated, you know, Highlands, obviously, he does. There's just so much to learn, so many things to do. And you know what? When you build the base, you can go and do things like that. And don't be surprised if you want to do it. What did we both say? How did I ever think I would go from a sand weight set to going to Iceland? It's absolutely amazing. And Ryan and I didn't even get into the mental set that you got to build and use, and we'll get into that in the next show. It's phenomenal what you can do if you want to do it. And I get very impatient with people now, you know, telling me this, that, and the other thing, because you know something? I chose this life. I was making big money in IT. Wasn't worth it anymore. I wanted to do what my passion was, and I'm living on a shoestring, so I have a hard time feeling sorry for a lot of people these days. And the thing is, you just keep moving. Move. Come up with ideas. Come up with plans. I'm telling you right now, the right people are going to contact you and you're going to contact them. But if you're going to sit there, I can't get this or I can't get better with that, you're going to just surround yourself with the same type of people, and it's going to be frustration and a lot of failure, because even when you're winning, you're failing, but you're learning. And that's what I try to do with the Winner Circle. So go out there, FearAllBarbellCo.com, click Winner Circle, take a look through it. It is life-changing. Also, too, we talk about contributions. I never would ask for stuff before, but the show has helped so many people. I've never offered to charge anyone, and we need some help right now. So you have a $25 button, a $50 button, a $100 button. Go out, you'll look, you'll see obviously the beginning all the way through. That's the first module on the Winner Circle. Then obviously on the 50, you'll get a half hour of free time with me. And on the $100 contribution, you will get 2 free half hours. All right. And then you got 8 people that are some of the most outstanding lifters and anything they're into in the world who have volunteered an hour of our time. And I got an offer last night from 2 people, and I can't say anything right now, that are going to have a major course out, looks tentatively in October, that have already offered their services for that. So I thank everyone, because it's much, much appreciated. But you know what? You treat people the way you want to be treated, and I've always been good to people, and that's just my nature. I'm not going to let you walk on me, I'll tell you that. But I want to see, just like Ryan said in the beginning, I want to see everyone succeed too. That's the essence of life, and that's the way it is, and it'll always be that way around here. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Ryan and I to do, go out to Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. We could do anything. I have no worries about that. If you can't get a hold of Ryan for some reason or you're having problems, send the note to there. I will forward it to him. He will get anything if there's anything you want him, you know, reach out to him about. Go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten from everybody. We thank you for that. Also, too, AHA Radio. That's AHA. It's a directory that has Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7 in it. Get it in your car, and you'll have the time of your life. You've heard some of the things people have said to me when they listen to it, how great it is, and they'll say, like, you guys will be yelling at each other. Next thing I know, you're cracking a joke, and I'm almost driving off the road at midnight laughing. That's what it's all about. That's the biggest thing. Also, too, the Sand Dune. Matt Dahl, we had him on the other day. We did a big show with John Bruni because he sent one to John, myself, Eric Gutman. Dr. Jeffrey Smith's got one now on the way, and so does Ryan J. Pitts, who's StrongerGrip.com. Now, look, if you're interested in balance, gait, cardio, strength, and stamina, you got to take a look at this and contact Matt at 714-995-4500. You will get 10% off it and free shipping, but the only way you're going to do that is tell Matt the word motivation. He'll know it comes from the show. I'm not getting a cent. We are going to be doing those some major things, and then it's going to change. And I also want to thank Douglas Graham. I think Douglas and I are going to be doing a few things. I can't announce them yet, but he's going to come in here and look at some things. So it's going to be very interesting. Let me think. Okay, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them 5 words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life. I can tell you that for fact. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile for that day. That might be all they get. And that is truth to that, believe me. She still says that to myself and my brothers and sister. Go around anywhere. If their heads aren't buried in a phone, they're walking around, they look like they're in a daze, or they can't even make eye contact with it. There's a lot of people out there hurting, man. You, myself, Ryan, everybody, I do believe we are stewards of strength. I can't speak for Ryan. I'll speak for Eric, though. I believe I have an obligation to bring what we know out there and lead people. So I'll leave it at that. Also, too, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, if you're going to press it, pull it, push it, if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to the show from the beginning, when I hear your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. It's more like Mount St. Helens blowing the roof off it, and it's coming down the side and going where it needs to go, my friend. Frank Klein, my greatest business college professor. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my greatest chiropractor ever, who this month, it's 3 years, we lost him to cancer. He would walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. Say that to yourself on your worst or best day, or just walk around and repeat it and watch what's going to happen. I have a smile on my face. John, with all those men, they were the quintessential men, I'm telling you right now. You talk about not only bravery, they were all in the service and all that, but they were men. It's not like a lot of stuff you see today. If they could back up what they said, you had a fight on your hands if you didn't look out. I miss that big time with them, and I think the world of them. I think of them every day, believe me. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're not going to kick your door, and we're going to blow the roof right off your house. Join the revolution. Join the family. You're going to have 30 years of the best, I guarantee you. Also, too, Les Brown said, you all have greatness in you, but we'll take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And how many people would say that in today's world? It's vitally important. Ryan, big honor. Glad to have you in the family. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll have you back, and I'm hoping you're going to be with us for the next 30 years, my friend.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, anytime you want me back, I'm in, man.
It's great to hear, because that's what we want. As I say, stewards of strength. That's what we want here, and that's all we're going to accept here, period. All right, everybody. So, for Ryan Stewart, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. This show will be up either Sunday or Monday morning. But, you know, as we get off, keep repeating, I am a winner, I am a champion. And men, if you don't have a set of balls, it's time to grow them. Get off the couch. Get off the devices. Remember, as I always say, I have nieces and nephews. They're watching you all the time. Your kids, your sons and daughters. Be an example. Don't be some blown up lob that can't even tie his shoes. Get out there. Do the proper things to build the testosterone. And we did that show with Dr. Wong the other day talking about how men are having so many problems mentally, thinking and all that. It's proven when your testosterone is low, your brain starts to shrink. That's a big thing. Also, wives, support your husbands. Husbands, support your wives. Don't let people on the outside put a wedge between you. Stay together, stay with our family, and be part of a revolution. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.